Hosea chapter number 3, we've had a couple of weeks off, and now we find our way. We've had lesson chapter 1, 2, now we're on chapter 3. This chapter is a very short one, 5 verses long. And the theme of our chapter tonight is God's redeeming love. God's redeeming love, Hosea, right before Joel, right after Daniel. Right before Joel is this book of Hosea, and we've been studying it. And I don't want to take the time if you're just jumping in, but it has an amazing story to it. Just briefly, Hosea is a prophet of God, a preacher of God, and basically God told him, if you want to read a little bit of chapter 1 as we get into it, but basically God told Hosea that his wife was going to be unfaithful to him. And I don't believe that he married someone who was unfaithful. Personally, I believe that he married someone, but God had told him, just so you know, and the picture of Hosea and his wife are between God and the nation of Israel, and how the nation of Israel was unfaithful many times to God. And as we learned even two weeks ago, that the church is, we are living in the church age, but the church in no way has replaced the nation of Israel. God has a purpose for the nation of Israel even tonight, but that's not necessarily the message. But what we find in this book, though, is really how God is seeking. Hosea did not just sit back in his lazy boy, if they had him back then. He didn't just sit back in his lazy boy and say, well, she ran off, so be it. In fact, quite the opposite of that is the story of Hosea. So we pick it up in chapter number 3. The Bible says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. According to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel." So again, you see the picture between God and Israel, who looked to other gods. Isn't it amazing how many times God did something for them and they believed God for a little while and then they went back into idolatry and so forth. And then judgment would come and it was this unbelievable cycle that just continued to happen. Notice verse 2. We're going to look at this. "So I bought her to me." This is Hosea speaking about Gomer, by the way, is his wife's name. "I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an homer of barley and a half homer of barley." She's on a slave block, if you will. And it's a sad story, really, but I hope we learn something tonight about God's redeeming love. Verse 3, "And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee." Wow, what a statement. She's already gone into adultery, and yet he's saying this to her. God's redeeming love, remember. 4, "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." So God, in this chapter, sends Hosea after Gomer. So think about this. It isn't, again, it is an action. There's action on the part of Hosea, which again, I said this to someone yesterday, love always gives. You can say, I love you, 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 but if it's only verbal and there's never action involved. In other words, Hosea, when everything was great and everything was flowery and all of this, he said, I love you. But now God is saying, I want you to go and I want you to find Gomer. And so notice he says in verse 2, I talked about it earlier, "So I bought her." Doesn't that sound familiar? How are you saved tonight? How are you on your way to heaven tonight? God bought you. God paid the price, didn't he? God paid the price through his son, dying on the cross, shedding his blood. We didn't do anything. In fact, we didn't deserve for God to buy us. We didn't deserve for God to pay the penalty for us. I didn't deserve any of that. And yet God, in his great mercy and God, in his great love, he was the initiator, if you will. You might say he was the instigator. He came after us. Hosea had taken a wife of whoredoms. She had left him. She had left her children. She had literally gone into the deepest, we might say some of the deepest depths of sin. Perhaps at one time she was a beautiful woman. Then I would say, we don't have obviously any picture, but just the description of the Word of God. But sin, I'm sure, always, and sin always will take a toll, by the way. A terrible one. Again, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but that's all, just a season. Might we be reminded of that. So, let's look at a couple of things tonight in the lesson. Number one, we've kind of touched on this already. Number one is the God who seeks. The God who seeks. We see that in verse number one. Notice, if you will, then said the Lord unto me, what's the next word after that? Go. Just like we need to go with the gospel, right? Where's that at? There it is. We need to go with the anniversary postcard. We need to go with there is hope. Stopped by and got something for my wife today on the way home at White Spot, and they brought it out to the car. I had some delicious leftovers from yesterday at this unbelievable Filipino place that we went, this restaurant in Coquitlam. I'll tell you about it afterwards, okay? And it was somebody's house, but it may have well been a restaurant. And but I said, here, I need to give you this. She gave me a salmon burger for my wife, and I gave her something greater than a salmon burger. There is hope, right? I'm not saying I do. I'm not saying I'm the one to follow. I'm just saying God told Hosea, go. God told the disciples, Matthew 28, the Lord Jesus, right? What did he say? Go, 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 go. We see the God who seeks. Our God, I'm thankful for this tonight. I rejoice in this tonight. I am undeserving of this. Our God is a seeking God. I'm thankful for that. And I hope you're thankful for that as well. That our God, your God, is a seeking God. And God is using this marriage relationship to illustrate something. That God has a wife, in a sense. His wife is Israel. And she is to be faithful to him. But we find that that is not the case with the nation of Israel. Gomer broke the covenant, if you will. Gomer broke the agreement, as just as Israel had broken it with God. We learn in this passage, again, that God is seeking. Would you hold your place in Hosea and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19? I have referred to this verse countless times in the last 24 years. And I hope that you have it marked in your heart. I hope you have it marked in your Bible, if you're okay with doing that. Somehow, some way that you know this verse, maybe even memorize it. Luke chapter 19. Maybe we could read it together. Luke 19:10. It's just a short verse, starts with the word for. Ready? Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man, that's one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, for the Son of Man is come to first, what? Seek. And we know that Jesus Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. John 1:1, and the Word was God. That ought to be something that is in our mind, that is in our heart. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God, because the attack is on the deity of Christ. And that's the devil is going to attack that until he gets tossed into the lake of fire. Because why? Because that's what everything is built on in our faith. And it is true, it is right that Jesus Christ is God. He is the Son of God. That's the only way he could die for my sin. That's the only way he could die for your sin. But we see here that he is a seeking God. Now, in Luke 15, I won't take the time to look at all of these, but in Luke 15, Jesus gives us three parables. Three times, something is lost. Does anybody remember one of them in Luke 15? What was lost? Can you remember? There was a sheep, okay? And I heard another one over here. A sheep was lost. Somebody said coin. Brother Reuben, was that you? No, okay. A coin was lost. A son was lost. Yeah, there is the lost sheep, the lost sheep. That's right. That's right. Coin and then the son. The sheep, the coin, and the son. And it's a picture. Jesus is saying when we lose one, it's valuable. It has value. One little coin in a house has value. One little sheep in a fold. I remember it's somewhere in the gospel record that says that the shepherd has 99 safe, but only one is lost. And he leaves the 99 and he goes after that one that is lost. Again, seeking. We have a seeking Savior, amen? We have a God who seeks. I say tonight, there's no one breathing. If somebody's still breathing, they can be saved. You say, oh, wait. No. I know someone who can't get saved that's still breathing. No. I don't believe that. Why? Because I believe God is seeking. He doesn't stop seeking. He's always seeking. Now, again, they have to repent. They have to turn to Christ. I'm not saying that that's not necessary. It is. But if somebody's breathing, don't give up. Keep praying for them. Keep bringing their name to the throne. The God who seeks. Number two, we see the God who suffers. Let's consider for a moment the heart of God. You're in Luke's gospel. Would you turn over to chapter 23, please? The God who suffers, number two. Luke 23, 27 and 28. I'll just read these. 23, 27 and 28. And there followed him, Jesus, a great company of people. Women, which also bewailed and lamented him. Look at verse 28. But Jesus turning unto them, can you just picture this? Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. When we do him wrong, we are harming ourselves. When someone goes out into sin, they are doing great harm to themselves. Again, we see the picture of Gomer here and what sin will do to someone. Someone is moving away from God. Think about this. When someone is moving away from God, they are not doing themselves any favors. It's only bringing hurt to themselves. That's what Jesus says here. Weep not for me. Weep for yourselves. Weep for your children. I'm sure tonight that the heart of Hosea was hurting. This is a sensitive topic. I understand that, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. But if you have family strife and difficulties, maybe not to this level, it hurts. And it's not easy. I'm sure that Hosea had a broken heart. I'm sure he loved Gomer. He loved his children. I'm sure even it probably broke his heart of what it was doing to the kids. He was rejected. But yet he's willing to go and find his wife. Wow. This could only be because of the love of God. Because we could say tonight, really, that all of the attributes of God are really summed up in his love. You know, without God's love, all the other ones are just kind of like, you know, they're secondary. But because of the love of God, it makes all of the other ones come together. He loves you tonight with an everlasting love. Meaning that I know I'm saved tonight. I know I'm saved. 51 years of age. If I drop dead of a heart attack tonight, I'll be in heaven. I know that. But I also know that I have within me a flesh that can go out tonight and sin just as much as anybody else. And so could you. We shouldn't do those things, of course. I'm just giving an example. That God loves me and God loves you with an everlasting love. And if there are children of God tonight out in this world living in sin, do you know what I believe? I believe God hurts with them. Why? God loves them. Think about it tonight. You love your family, you love your kids, you love your spouse, you love extended family, you love your friends, and if they turn on you, does that not hurt? Of course it does. Think about the thrice holy God. When his children who say they love him and they're his children, and I mean, genuinely speaking, Christians can sin, okay? We can go and we can backslide. It is possible. And that's a whole other message. We don't lose our salvation. I don't believe that the Bible teaches that. But when we do that, if it hurts me when somebody turns on me, how do you think God feels? But he doesn't stop loving us. Now, he won't tolerate sin, but he also hurts with us. In Luke 19, 41 to 44, I won't turn there, but if you want to jot it down, you can. Our Lord stands over Jerusalem and weeps. He pours out his heart because the Lord Jesus pours out his heart because there is a lost, sinful people. And he speaks there of how he would have gathered them. Maybe you remember reading the account. We could put ourselves in Hosea's sandals tonight. Verse 1, he said to Hosea, go. Go find the adulterous woman. Go find your wife. The God who seeks, the God who hurts. Number 3, the God who saves. The God who saves. Try to imagine Hosea. I said it earlier, but basically he's at a slave market. Ancient slave markets were real. Doesn't mean they were right, but they were real. Someone could buy a slave in 3 ways. Number 1, by conquest. I guess that's not necessarily buying a slave, but you become a slave sometimes if your city got conquered. And then you had to go and do whatever the people that just conquered you. Another way is that you were born to a slave. So your dad and mom are slaves and you were born into their family, so you're a slave. And then a third way is that a person could be a slave by being indebted. That's where Gomer is in our text. She has spent all. She has nothing. It kind of reminds us of that lost son, doesn't it? And he's in the pig pen. The last place a Jewish boy would want to be is in the pig pen. And this is the testimony here. Any beauty that she had is gone. Any possessions that she had are gone. And he shows up at this slave block, if you will. Remember the Lord Jesus on his way to the cross, what he said to those women that we read earlier. He said, "Weep for yourselves." They were hurting themselves because they were rejecting him. Don't reject him. He's seeking you tonight, maybe. You're not saved and you're here. I'm glad you're here. And he's seeking you tonight and he's hurting for you, but he wants to save you, but he will not compromise his word. And so you must turn to him. He can knock, but you have to let him in. And I know maybe most of you have already experienced that. You've already trusted Christ as Savior. Praise the Lord for that. But maybe there's one here that hasn't. Notice what the Bible says about this heartbroken husband. He buys his own wife. Do you see this? Look at verse number 2. "So I bought her." He watches Gomer walk up to the stand. She goes up on the stand and she's going to be auctioned off, like as in somebody's property. This is a human being. Again, I'm not trying to be unkind, but in studying and in the lesson here, in that day, we're told that slaves were disrobed. You talk about utter embarrassment and degradation. See, this is the kind of thing that when we get to this place in our life, and I'm not saying specifically this, but you know, when Satan tempts you and when Satan tempts me, he doesn't show us the slave block. He shows us something that might look a little bit appealing. But the thing is, if we follow the ways of the Satan, if we follow the ways of the world, if we follow even our own flesh, we're going to end up on the slave block. Maybe not literally, but figuratively. With nothing. But remember, God is always seeking. We have a merciful God. God told Hosea, "Go get your wife." Because God hurts. God seeks. God saves. The bidding would start on the slaves. This was someone to Hosea that wasn't just some other person. This was a lady that had borne 3 children. This was his wife. The Lord would have us see tonight as well that this is not an ordinary person. This is his, in context, his cherished Israel that he loves with an everlasting love. They have forsaken their God and have gone after many other lovers. Sin has taken them farther than they ever thought they would go. The bidding doesn't go very high. Interesting, as you look at that. 15 pieces of silver, homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. 15 pieces of silver is about half of what a slave would get in this time. Half. So there was very little value at all. 15 pieces of silver. Hosea bids 15 pieces of silver. Homer of barley. Half homer of barley. He buys her. Look at verse 3 of our text. "And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, and without a teraphim. God applies all of this to Israel, and he tells us the things that they will be without. Without a king, without a prince, a sacrifice, with images, ephods, teraphims, they won't have them. This teraphim is evidently an idolatrous means of divination. The ephod was something that the high priest wore that had all the names of the tribes of the children of Israel on it. He says, you're not going to have these things. Look at verse 5, please, the last verse of the chapter. Afterward. Again, it's just a simple word, but it's actually a very powerful word in context. Afterward shall the children of Israel return. They shall seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in their latter days. So we focus on that afterward, and I would say tonight, praise God for the afterward. Praise God for the, earlier this morning we looked at the word but in the Bible. In other words, it was a transitional word, and this afterward is a transitional word because this is a doom and gloom chapter until you get to afterward. Your life has been wrecked and ruined. Slave, sold as a slave. Again, this is Gomer. Half the price of the cost of a normal slave. You have stooped so low, you have gone so far, and no one thinks you have any value. God has an afterword. Not only for his people, but God has an afterword for you and for me tonight. You know, the devil would love to say when you're down and when I'm down, the devil would love to come and whisper in your ear and my ear, you are worthless, you can't do anything for God, you messed up again, you did that thing again, you said that again, you went that direction again. That's the devil. The devil has no afterword. The devil is beat us while we're down. But no, God is a God who seeks. He says, go after the one on the slave block. Wow. By the way, lest we think we're somebody special tonight. I mean, we are in the eyes of God, but I'm saying in comparison, we might say, well, I'm definitely not Gomer. You know, don't get in the habit of comparing yourself among yourself because it's not wise. The Bible tells us that. I'm thankful that we have a God who says, I can restore you. I'm at this part of my life, Pastor Turner, and this thing and that thing. God says, I can restore anything. Anyone that's willing can be restored. There's no way that you or I will ever love the Lord like we should, serve him like we should. But if we'll picture ourselves like Gomer, over there on that slave block, and not think and say, you know what? That's not Hosea's wife. That's me. That's me over there. God sought me. The world would say maybe very little value, but God sought me. And then God allowed his son to die for my sin. He turned his back on his son. He allowed him to die for your sin and mine. He hurt. And then God saves. God saved me from, God, if you're saved tonight, God saved you from punishment. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The devil is a liar. Everything he says is a lie. He will mix half-truths with his lies, but it's all lies and it's all deceit. He will not make you or me joyful. He might give us a bit of happiness, but it will never be fulfilling. Standing there in the scene is a bitter. He is someone who cares and loves with an everlasting love. This person pays the price. As a matter of fact, this word redeemed is a word that was used in these type of markets. It is a word that grows out of this experience described by Hosea and Gomer. To be redeemed is to be bought back. Hosea went to the slave block and bought back his wife. Jesus went to the cross and paid the price to buy anyone back that would come to him in faith. This word grows out of this experience, as we said. As we close, would you go with me to Paul's epistle in 1 Corinthians? He sums it up quite authoritatively in 1 Corinthians 6. Look what he says in verse 19, another couple of verses that I would encourage you to meditate on regularly and have them marked in your heart. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And there's a whole thing we could talk about there. As Christians, the Holy Ghost is living inside of every believer. Which ye have of God. God gave us the Holy Spirit when we got saved. Ye are not your own. For, look at verse 20, please. Ye are bought with a price. Just like the 15 pieces of silver and the barley and the other items. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We owe a debt we cannot pay. You cannot pay the debt that you owe in your own finances or your own good works or religious things. You owe a debt you cannot pay. I owe a debt I cannot pay. And yet Jesus Christ, he paid the price. He paid the penalty. So when you look at Hosea, remember, Hosea is a picture of God. Hosea paid the price for his wife to come back, to be redeemed, to be bought back. Jesus paid the price for you and for me to be bought back, to be redeemed. We are on the slave block without Christ. We don't deserve, but by the grace of God, because of the mercy of God, we can be born again, we can be saved. And then we don't get saved just to live our life however we want to live our life. We don't live our life, we shouldn't live our life for the fulfillment of our flesh. No, he said there in Corinthians, you are bought with a price. You're not your own. I'm not my own. I've been bought with the blood of Christ. And because of that, I should have a desire. I should have a burning inside of me with all of my being, with the Lord's help, to live my life in this worldly world, but live my life to be a bright and shining light for the glory of God. God seeks. God hurts. And God saves. I'm so thankful for that. Five little verses. Hosea Gomer, what a great story. We continue to journey through it. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And we're not going to have an invitation tonight organized necessarily, official coming to the altar, but I'm going to just take a moment. I've got about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and then we need to be ready anyway. But with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I hope you'll think about for just a moment this Bible lesson tonight. There might be someone here tonight that you say, you know what, Pastor Turner, I'm not saved. I'm not for sure of that. You know, I hope so. You know, I know this enough about reading the Bible, and I need to read it a lot more, but I know this, that God doesn't want anyone to hope so. He wants us to know so. Is there anyone here tonight? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you in any way, but you say, Pastor Turner, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I need to be saved. I need to be redeemed, like you said. I need to be bought back. I need to claim that for my own life. Your dad can't do it for you. Your mom can't do it for you. Your wife, your husband. No, this is a personal decision. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there anyone like that? You'd slip your hand up. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. In then as we're praying here to end the service, maybe you could take a moment in this closing prayer as I close out the service, but you could take a moment there in your seat. You could just thank God for buying you back. Folks, let's remember where we're headed without Christ. We're headed for an eternity in the lake of fire. Eternity, not just until we burn up. Eternity. So because of the redemption, the Bible says we're not redeemed with silver and gold. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Because he bought us back and we believed and received, we are on our way to live with God forever in heaven. Wow. Thank him for that. Rejoice in that. And then maybe God would lay someone on your heart that you need to pray for that's not saved. Maybe a family member, maybe a daughter, maybe a son, maybe a neighbor, a co-worker. And you could pray, God, give me an opportunity to speak to them about Christ this week. Maybe someone at school. You could take a track with you on your way out when you go. Folks, this is real. Eternity is real. People are, I mean, I'm not trying to be morbid, but people die all the time. When they die, it will not matter how much money they have in their bank. When I die, it will not matter how much money I have. When you die, it will not matter how much designer clothing you have in your wardrobe. What will matter is this. Have you received the plan of redemption that God has provided? As well as the people that we know and love. Let's keep praying for them. Never give up. They're breathing. Keep praying. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you. Father, I really don't know how to put it into words. Thank you doesn't seem sufficient. But we do say thank you tonight, Father, for sending Jesus Christ to seek and to save lost people like me. Thank you for his death, his burial, his resurrection. Thank you for the fact that he didn't call 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he died alone. Thank you, Lord, for Father, for providing this redemption. And I pray that we would all tonight that know you, that we would live our lives recognizing that we are bought with a price. And because we are bought with a price, we have a desire to live our lives different. Not that we're some prideful in this way, but we're living our lives in a way that is different. Because we are bought with a price. And Father, I pray for anyone tonight that we might know of that is lost. I think of my, I don't know, he might be saved, but I don't think so, but my doctor, Julian Lee, that I just gave a track to on Thursday, my neurologist, Father, I pray you'd convict him if he's not saved. You've laid him on my heart heavy in recent days. I have no idea why. So it must be that he's not saved. I pray that he would come as he's been invited to come on June 1. I pray he would come. And Lord, there's so many other people like that. Some people, we don't even know their names. We meet them briefly, maybe at the store. We give them a gospel tract. Should have those available to pass out, Father, because somebody there might need to be redeemed. Maybe they haven't been bought back yet. And so, Lord, I pray that this week that's ahead of us, we would live every day the best to the best of our ability with your strength, dying to self, being filled with the Spirit, that we would live a life that honors you and pleases you. Thank you, Lord, for the time that we could gather together around your word tonight. May we even meditate and think about this chapter throughout the week. And again, all these requests that were mentioned earlier, God, that you would do a great work in each one. And we pray as well for the rest of the activities after the meeting, Lord, that you would have your will and way there in Jesus' name. Amen.